Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back to Late Night News Talk, A30WCCO. Minnesota Viking football right now has been utterly depressing for Viking fans all over the country. And to talk about the latest debacle, I guess I'll describe it, that was just bad football on Sunday. Our weekly guest, Sam Ekstrom from Zone Coverage Minnesota, he joins us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And Sam, happy to have you again. And I got to dive into some specifics with you tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
First and foremost, let's start with the quarterback. You know, my stance on Kirk Cousins is that he has to be a quarterback that has everything around him be perfect. And clearly we know that the state of Minnesota Viking football is just not that. It's almost like we're trying to rebuild on the fly. But with that being said, he has to be better. He cannot perform at the level that he performed at on Sunday, or this team has no chance. But I want to kind of really just go ahead and pat my own back, because one of the things that I saw coming into this year, and I've noted this a couple of times when we do Friday Purple, and I just hate this about a guy that we just gave a contract extension to, but he has that Philip Rivers in him right now. Where every single game, I don't care who the opponent is, Sam, he is going to give the opposing team an opportunity for takeaway. And I hate it, because whenever you have a quarterback that is that way, the opposing team is always going to have a chance. When you have a guy that's going to throw interceptions and fumble the football to the degree that Kirk Cousins does. Your thoughts?
Well, I think we went into 2020 with one season of the Philip Rivers version of Kirk Cousins, as you laid out. And then we had one season of the very careful with the football, good decision maker, Kirk Cousins. That was last year. So this was the tiebreaker, right? Was this 2018 Kirk or 2019 Kirk? And unfortunately, it's been 2018 Kirk times two. It's been more mistake prone Kirk. He's on pace to double his career high in interceptions, which is just unacceptable for a team that has no margin of error on defense. And you know, the offense obviously needs as much help as it can get as well with that offensive line. So it's unacceptable. And I thought it was pretty telling after the game when Kirk said about his first interception, the one that happened on the first play of the game, "That's a mistake that I might have made as a rookie," he said. And remember, this is his ninth year in the league. He said that was a rookie mistake. And I think a lot of fans watching were probably saying the same thing. What are you seeing? There are four Falcons around Jefferson. The linebacker's clearly dropping. The throw is behind him anyway. That's just a bad play. And then to compound it with two more interceptions in that first half, one of them, you know, ball got tipped. Maybe it's his fault, maybe not. But the other one, another very ill-advised throw, you can't compound mistakes with mistakes. And it seems like he's done that thus far this season. I look back at all 10 of his interceptions. I'd say six of them are just flat-out his fault, just horrible throws. A couple of them are Hail Marys because he kind of just had to work it down the field. One of them was a drop or off the receiver's hands, and then a tip ball. Majority of them, though, are on Kirk. And considering he had six interceptions last year, this is a dramatic drop-off that has to make the Vikings question what they were doing with that contract extension.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, you're at the games and I'm not, I'm currently not at the games. I'm watching, at home. I don't see any fire from Kirk. I don't see any passion from Kirk Cousins right now. And can you tell me or describe to me maybe what it looked like on the sidelines where there, cause I was hearing from certain people, on Sunday that there were not really players around him on the sidelines in terms of not trying to, you know, ostracize him or make him an outcast, but there was no like it's him and it'll be the tablet and there's no real communication or conversation between him and his teammates. And the only reason why I bring this up about the passion and the fire is because I'm not a guy that believes that everybody has to be passionate and have fire or display it in a certain way for them to be great football players or great athletes, right? Some people just do it in a different way, right? Like Andre Johnson was not the type of wide receiver that Randy Moss was. Andre Johnson was a very quiet guy. Larry Fitzgerald Jr. is a very quiet guy. I don't have a problem with players like that. The only reason why I bring it up with Kirk, though, is because remember you like that? He showed passion and fire towards the media. And then remember last year, he had made some comments about, he said, well, I play better at times when I'm pissed off. So my point is that, Kirk, we're 1-5. When are you going to get fired up? When will Viking fans be able to say, we like that, Kirk?
That's a great question. And it's interesting because we've seen both sides of it. There have been definite moments of passion from Kirk, particularly in 2018 when things weren't going great at first. They had a good stretch of 4 to 6 games where Kirk was the guy giving the pregame speech. I believe this was when Everson was out, you know, dealing with his mental health issues. Kirk sort of took the torch and said, I'm going to be the guy to fire you up. And he rallied the troops. And then there was the you like that moment last year in the locker room after the big playoff win against New Orleans. So he has shown that. But I also felt like last year there was sort of a shift in Kirk where, and he used this line, he sees himself as the CEO. He's kind of a businessman out there. He can't get too high or too low. And I felt like I detected a shift in Kirk, even when things were going well. Not a big celebrator with teammates, not someone who's going to get too pumped up and jump on guys and chest bump and end zone dance, you know, throw a touchdown, go back to the sideline. So when things are going well, I tend to think he's a little bit more reserved typically, and then he picks his spots to kind of show that passion. But with regards to last Sunday, you're right. I mean, I observed the same thing that you heard from others is that he's going to the sideline and he's sort of sitting with his quarterback's coach, Clint Kubiak. They're examining the film, a little bit of talk with Sean Mannion, his backup, but not a lot of collaboration with his receivers, his offensive line. He's definitely not, you know, walking up and down the sideline trying to get his team fired up. It is very reserved. And I think you can look at that a couple different ways. You know, you don't want a guy that's going to get overly emotional when things aren't going well. Sometimes that can be counterproductive. But at some point when things aren't working, you need to stir it up. You need to shake up the norm and kind of change the status quo. And I don't know if he's that guy either. So I don't know if it would be disingenuous for him to start doing things like that, but he definitely wasn't the guy in the sideline trying to sort of wake the team up on Sunday. And maybe he has to be. I don't know if it's in his personality, but we have seen him show passion in the past.
Talking to Sam Ekstrom from Zone Coverage Minnesota here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. We do this show 2 o'clock on Fridays. We're not going to have one this Friday because the Vikings are on the bye, but it's called Friday Purple. Myself, Sam Ekstrom, Matthew Kyler from Purple Insider Podcast and Newsletter, and Sloan Martin from the WCCO Newsroom. And essentially, it's a Vikings show. We talk for 30 minutes. We preview the game, and we talk about Vikings issues and about the opponent. And one of the things that I had stated last week was that I just sensed that Atlanta was going to play a little bit better because I felt like they were going to be fired up. No, they fired their coach. They fired their GM. Matt Ryan got disrespected by Arthur Blank. I just felt like they were going to play with more of an intensity, right? They had more to play for. But I didn't see at all that the Minnesota Vikings would be this bad at running the football. What the hell happened with the running game? Because we know that Alexander Mattison is a good running back. What the heck, in your opinion, happened?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. Number one, just game flow. Like, when you get behind by two possessions pretty quickly, it just changes, you know, the dimension of your team. I think the Vikings only had, you know, 10, 15 rushing attempts all game. So they just didn't have the opportunity to set the run up as much. And they were ineffective on early downs. You know, if you have an unsuccessful run on first and 10 and suddenly it's second and 9 and then you're compelled to throw a couple more times, it's just hard to establish the run. Like, if you get yourself in second and 5, okay, well, then you can maybe run it on second down too, and then maybe you can run it on third down. You know, the run promotes the run. So the better you do it, the more you can do it, obviously. And the Vikings just never got into that rhythm. And I don't know if I want to put too much on Ezra Cleveland, you know, the first-time guard who was getting his first start. I didn't think Cleveland was good, but I didn't really think he was the reason they couldn't run the ball either. I think the early deficit kind of hurt. And I felt like Atlanta was playing really well. And you mentioned that you thought they were going to play with emotion. And let me tell you, in a stadium with no fans, you can detect, you can hear everything. And you can tell which team is more emotional and is more passionate. And after that first interception, you could hear the roars from that Atlanta sideline and the defense running off the field, you know, having just forced a turnover, and the offense coming on the field, and the encouragement and the boost that they were getting. That was tangible. And I think when there's no fans, you know, the other team hears that as well. And that can be sort of a downer when you're in your own building and you hear the other team whooping it up. That just got the Vikings down. And they got punched in the mouth early, and they weren't really able to battle back. They tried, you know, early, obviously, and kind of got behind the chains. And a couple three and outs, an interception, and boom, you're down by 17 points. And they never really had a chance to run the ball.
Sam, Mike Boone got one carry on Sunday, and it was minus 1 yards. It was the loss of yardage on the fourth and inches, you know, on the goal line there going forward. What did you think of that play call, and did you think that was the right call? Did you think that they should have went for the field goal?
I like the play call. I'm glad Mike Zimmer didn't back down the week after going for it on fourth and one and missing. I'm glad he stuck to his guns, because I think it's usually the correct call to try to get 1 yard, you know, and score a touchdown. I don't know if I love the play call, though. Mike Boone at the goal line, it's not really his forte. He's kind of a lateral moving, you know, shifty juke kind of guy who's going to make guys miss in space. He's not really a ground and pound kind of back. And I didn't love that Kyle Rudolph on that play had to get from off of the right tackle and cut all the way across the line of scrimmage to get a block in. That just seemed like a difficult thing to execute. So, no, I didn't love the play call. I liked the decision, but that whole sequence of plays at the goal line just didn't make a ton of sense. And that's just indicative of this game. The Vikings couldn't really pull any of the correct strings, and getting a little too cute, trying to go to Mike Boone, who wasn't in a rhythm, and you've got your tight end who's not an amazing blocker trying to make a really tough block. I didn't love that.
The Atlanta Falcons score 40 points on this Vikings defense. And, you know, the identity of this organization and this team for so many years has been strong defensively. They gave up 40 points to a winless team, and it very easily could have been 43 or 47 if not for Brian Hill fumbling on that drive where they were, you know, marching towards the end zone against the Vikings.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they've given up 43 and 31 in the first two home games. And I believe in both of those games as well, they also had a big, you know, defensive takeaway. Like, I think they had a fourth down stop at the goal line against the Packers. They had an interception in the end zone against the Titans. So we could be talking about a 40-point per game average in their home building, if not for a few takeaways. And they've lost five in a row in that building, by the way.
Yep.
This defense that showed signs of improvement the previous three games definitely took a little step in the wrong direction, and it continues to be the big plays against that secondary. And I think that secondary is, they're just stretched too thin. They had three rookies out there after Mike Hughes hurt his neck again. And that's just, the deck is stacked against you when Matt Ryan's the opposing quarterback. And I know he hasn't been great, but he's got too much experience in this league and too much acumen to not exploit a three rookie cornerback group. Julio Jones was back, had a gigantic day, and Calvin Ridley's pretty good too. I mean, they couldn't hide out there. They were all exposed, and that continues to be kind of problematic. Pass rush wasn't really getting home. It wasn't as good as it was against Russell Wilson the week before. It's kind of sad to see Mike Zimmer's defense that he's been so proud of for 6 years looking like this. And you could tell there was a dejection after the game from Mike Zimmer. And then even the next day when we talked to him, he was rattling off all the things that weren't working. The pass coverage, the fourth down defense. Teams are like 80% on fourth down against this team. The run defense. I mean, he listed off five or six things that he took responsibility for this team not doing well at. But I think a lot of it comes back to that secondary just continually giving up those big plays.
All right, final thing for you, and then we'll let you go. Should this team, you know, when we talk Major League Baseball, right, we talk about buyers and sellers at the trade deadline. Should the Minnesota Vikings be sellers? Should they be actively listening to offers for some of their better players?
I think you're listening. I think you're listening to offers. I think there's a couple different spectrums of how, you know, deep into this you can go. Do you trade the expiring contracts? I think you explore it, like the Riley Reiffs, who's got 1 year left. You know, Anthony Harris, who's in a contract year for sure. Maybe Yannick Ngakoue, who's only got a 1 year deal. Maybe I think you look into those. And then there's a second level to it. There's the Eric Hendricks, the Adam Thielens, the veterans that have multiple years and could arguably remain and be part of your core as you rebuild. Or do you do a complete fire sale? Do you just maximize value on these guys and try to, you know, stockpile picks and assets? Or do you sort of go in the middle and you sell the guys that are going to be gone anyway? I tend to think that's where the Vikings will lean. This has never been a team to just tear it all down and completely tank. I don't think that's in the Wilkes DNA, Mike Zimmer's DNA, or Rick Spielman's DNA. I think that they have always been convinced that there is a way to remain competitive. So I'd be pretty surprised if they tore it all down. But I think you have to listen. If teams are willing to give you like a second-round pick for Riley Reiff, you take it. If you can recoup the second-round pick on Yannick Ngakoue, I think you consider it. I think that you want to get something for guys that are going to be gone potentially regardless, if you're not going to be competitive this year. I think you've got to go into the next draft with a lot of arsenal, and maybe that opens up some areas for younger players to step up this year, get some playing time, and build for the future. It's a weird spot for them to be in. They haven't been in this spot many times, but I think they do have to listen at least to those proposals.
Give him a follow on Twitter at Sam Ekstrom. It's Sam Ekstrom from Zone Coverage Minnesota here on Lake Night News Talk 830 WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.